Not that it's secretive stuff.
Beautiful.
But I'm still kind of weird. There's some things I know are just for people, but I just don't know the whole public thingy. I'm still getting figured out, like, God, is this a secret, or is this a secret? Or just, you know, I don't know. So this does feed over from yesterday, but it's a strange timeline that, for some reason, I'm supposed to tell you the timeline, because some things I'm going to share are going to be a model of how you guys do some sort of things on individual life.
Oh, she's turning out
people. Oh, okay.
And so as you walk for this message and last message, there's some things that are, I believe, are some takeaways for you to apply in your own personal life, in your own journeys with the Father. Okay. I don't like copying anyone, me personally, even though God says, maybe go do that. I still have a problem with copying somebody, you know. Even though Paul says, walk as I walk, I'm going, I'm not doing it your way, I'm doing the Wally way. But from yesterday and today, I don't know why, there's some things that will illuminate your path, okay? How you perceive and grow and engage with the Father. There'll just be some nuggets, you know. Either you'll get it now or later on, you'll go, oh, I can do that. I wonder if a similar thing will occur, da da da. And so, oops, sorry, puppy. And I didn't plan stuff. I rarely plan. I'm very go with the flow. But I'm believing that the things that occurred on August 2nd, and those from the tape, you have to follow up. What happened on August 2nd led to what occurred on August 7th. And August 7th, which is 5 days from August from the 2nd, August 2nd, August 3rd is when I had the anointing oil and I got the gym. And so in August, so I'll start there. On August 3rd, at a friend's house, a friend I'd never met before live, but I'd met on the phone, and it was real good. So in their apartment, they gave me a gemstone. For those who are live, they can see the gemstone. But when the gemstone was in my hand, I said then, and I said last night, that I felt that the spirit of might actually took my hands and pulled me somewhere. And until a few hours ago, I didn't know where I went until a few hours ago. So when I said I took a nap, it was a very active nap. I got more revelation of what happened to me on August 3rd, okay? And until an hour ago, I didn't know what happened. And I go, and I felt the spirit of might took me someplace. And I didn't know where I went until an hour ago, okay? So what that means is, a reminder, everyone, everything in the kingdom's unfolding revelation. Okay? What does that mean for you? That means when you have an encounter, and you go, wow, I understand it. And you probably do understand something of the moment. But if you open to more, then the Lord or the Holy Spirit or someone on the good team can say, oh, here's what this means for you today. Here's what it means for you tomorrow. Here's what it means for you whenever to apply. Because the Word of God's living, active and stuff. And applications are like, oh, I thought it was for this. Oh, yeah, that was. But now it's for this. What? And so for me, on August 3rd, I said to the couple, wow, I feel like the Spirit of Mike took us someplace. And they said, where'd you go? I went, someplace. You know. And yesterday, where'd you go? I went, someplace. I got the place an hour-ish ago, laying in the anointed bedroom that you have upstairs. But I was open to for more, right? So again, everything you hear, everything you engage the Father, there's always more, okay? If you're willing to go to more. And more is an attitude, it's a willingness, it's like, it's to be non-dogmatic. I mentioned also in the message I prepared, I said, I have a strategy for Lynchburg and the surrounding areas, right? I posted that a little bit.
Why?
Well, that's generic. An hour ago, I got detail for Bedford.
Wow.
Okay? And I was like, wasn't expecting detail. I was happy with surrounding areas, right? Yeah. And then over the meal, the things you shared, when I said something like, well, give me the history of Bedford, I was freaking out inside going, oh my gosh, that fits so well with what I heard upstairs, right? And I'm like going, I wanted to start teaching right when you said liberty. That was when, and I'm thinking, they're outside, they're going to miss it all. And I was about to go and not go get them. I was just like, that was a trigger word that just went, and I'm sort of like, hold it back. Gwen will slap you if you start talking now. Hold it back. And not just Gwen, but everybody else does. But it was also a timing deal. It was supposed to be, Wally, you need to bring it under control because it's supposed to be set out in this manner, not just in the manner that was there. I wanted to go with the manner that was there, and I was going, bring. So, yeah, I'm still wild too. So the scripture, I shared the scripture last night, and it meant something last night, but it means a whole something more to me right now. Colossians 1:26-27. The mystery of which was hidden for ages and generations, yes, from angels and men, but is now revealed to his holy people. We're his holy people, yeah, right? And that now revealed is now, this moment now. Not written in a book that someone published 10 years ago, 2 years, or 1 year ago of a revealed revelation. Write this now. Today, someone asked me, she's not here, but Gwen, you asked the same question. Do we have our angels in the afterlife? Well, I gave one answer in my book. I gave another answer to Fawn earlier, and I gave another answer to you. I got another answer just now. And I'm going like, so for people who like to have things in a box, like I do, my answer's right here. I go pull the answer out. I go, here you go. I went to go to the box, the answer wasn't there. I said, where's my answer? And the answer moved and morphed. And I was like, I'm having to chase after the living revelation.
There you go.
It takes more effort. I want to go, I put a book on shelf number 2. I want to go back to my file. It's very easy. I found this 5 years ago. I put it here. Thank you very much. Well, that's called leaning upon my understanding and not following the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he's over there. Well, I want you right here so I can control you. Okay? I don't want to be living and following you. That takes change. Okay? You follow that there? So I was like, so when I read this last night, or when I put it in my notes the night before or the day before, I was like, oh, the mystery's been revealed. I'm going to share a new understanding of some things based on August 2nd, August 3rd, August 8th, 7th and 8th, right? Ta-da! But all of a sudden this morphed again to like, no, you're going to sell something that's fresh right now. I was like, I'm not ready for fresh right now. Maybe they're not ready either for fresh right now. So we know this from the Bible. It says, you know, God's all-consuming fire. And fire, the fires that are burning in California are burning, they're not controllable. Yeah. And the way that I want to flow with the revelation of God in my little teacher format, I want to kind of organize. Mm-hmm. But I'm coming to a place where I'm not going right anymore. But last night you said right. Yeah, anyway. Right now we're going sit at the table. I don't sit at the table. I sit in the comfy chair. You're messing me up. People have their backs towards me. Are you going to go with me? Or are you going to go with what you want to do? I'm really used to going to the way I want to do. Are you going to go with me? Or what you think is right? And this is something about for everybody. Do you want to go with what worked yesterday? The chair worked yesterday. The chair worked last time I was here too. And it's like Moses with the rock. Do I strike the rock? When God says, speak to it, but God, the chair worked. Striking the rock worked. The water came out. I was there. You were there. I watched the video. It was on Facebook. I rewinded it. I watched again. The stroke, the work, the water, the living rock, it moved. It's Jesus. It worked. Speak to the rock. What did Moses do? He struck it again. Out of habit, out of experience, out of knowing what works, okay? Out of whatever reason, he did the wrong thing. He was led, he didn't follow. Now, he wasn't struck dead. That was the other week ago, this little ground swallowed, you know, opened up somebody and they got all thrown in. I'm thinking, why did he get swallowed up? Anyway, so I'm in the chair now because I don't want to get swallowed up, because that big hole in Gwen's house would be really bad, you know, I'd be toppled down, you had to throw the book down. Wally, here's your book. Yeah. That'd be ugly. You'd be talking about the house opening up. You know.
No, you're Superman, and you're here to help my house.
There you go. There you go. Good answer. So anyway, so verse 27, which I did not read last night, to whom God was pleased to make known him, known how great the Gentiles are, the riches, the glory, anyway, which is Christ within and among you. We are not living this life on our own. We're not living this life with new information we got from a book, from a play, from prayer. We're living this life because he lives inside of us. You know? It's not like we have to call him up. He's right here 24/7. Now, I live like I got to call him up. We go, well, I better pray now. Why do I say that? Because I was trained that you enter the restaurant, there are meals in front of you, so now let's go get God. Because he must be someplace far away. We must invoke his name and say a prayer so he can do something. We need to start learning like he's right there. You know, the disciples ever said, Jesus, we pray to you. They didn't close their eyes and bow their head. Right? They looked, they said, we have a problem. They looked at him and went, we've got a problem. Why aren't I doing that? If he's living in me, why aren't I going to him instead of bowing my head and need a soaking time, need a, you know? If he's really living in me, I got to figure out how to talk to him. I never, when I'm thinking about something, I don't go and go, what do you think, Brian? Let's think about this. I don't have that. I engage. I don't have those. There's no protocols. But if Jesus Christ, who walked on this planet, somehow lives inside of me, I can figure this thing out. It's mandatory, right? And that's the mystery. Christ within and among you. And it says, was hidden for ages and generations. Is it still hidden behind your intellect?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right? How long are you going to take until you stop playing like what you learned and start engaging with the one who's alive? Or acting like he's dead and he left you a book? Read this, hope you get what I wrote in the book. Yeah, help those guys get the book thingy. You know? Anyway, so let me go back to August 8th. That's where I want to go, but I got to go back to August 3rd. And I said that, you know, when the gemstone dropped in my hand, I felt the Spirit of Mike grab me. He grabbed me, his hands enveloped my hands and pulled me. That's all I knew until an hour and 15 minutes ago. Okay. I now know he was pulling me in and out. Into something and out of something. Okay. And I'm going like, why didn't you tell me that then? Was I not ready? Was it not time? I don't know. I used to spend a lot of times on the why, how come you didn't, you know, and it's kind of wasted time, you know. Can you just live in the moment? No, I want to know how I got here. It's very important to me how I got here. And he's like, it means nothing. It means something to me. So you're saying, well, your priorities are higher than mine? Yeah. Exactly right. So because he loves me, he gave me a scripture. He said, up and out. He pulled me up and out of something. And I was like, what? Revelations 4, 1 and 2. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. I must have said door gate today at the drum circle, I don't know, a bunch, 12 times a lot, you know. And we've got to realize there are a lot of open doors in our lives, and the choice to go through them. So in this case here, when the gem dropped in my hand, I thought I got pulled through an open door. And the voice said, which I heard addressing, come up here, I will show you what must take place in the future. That's what happened.
Wow.
Okay. I thought I was just happy to get something dropped in my hand. It looks a nice redstone, resonant clear color. I'm happy with that. Gift number 4. You know, I'm in the bonus round. Anything more than one gift is like, wow. You know. So I got pulled to come up here. Now, when John was invited up, I got snatched. Now, again, there's scripture for that. There's a guy in the Old Testament that gets snatched by his hair, you know. So, no, God would never, he always, the gentle Savior would just, Brad, do you want to come with me? I have something to show you. You know, and he'd gently take your hand and we'd walk slow, you know. I got snatched by something. A prophet, which was Elijah or somebody, got yanked up by a lock of his hair. And I don't know how that works, right? Yeah. I mean, a lock of it got yanked up and pulled somewhere. No one talks about that. It's very offensive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's like...
That's harsh.
It's very harsh, right? But our gentle Savior would never do that. This guy gets yanked, right? So I got snatched, and I think maybe the reason why I didn't understand it because I was offended. How dare you take you someplace I'm not ready to go? I need a preview. I need to bring a raincoat, a sword. Should I be prepared for this? You're just gonna be yanking me, you know? Gosh. So maybe I shut down. I don't know. But the scripture says, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place." At once I came under the Holy Spirit's power. At once I came under the Spirit of Might's power and was taken someplace. I'm telling y'all, are you willing to be snatched?
I was Ezekiel.
Thank you. Ezekiel gets snatched by Herod. So in relation, he kind of said, God, whatever you want to do, yes, 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 yes. Are you sure that you want a blanket? Yes, yes. You know, at the rental cars, we kind of go, we check box here, check box here. You now have the opportunity in your life to say yes to whatever. Now, I'm a yes to some things, and the other things, I like to kind of have a understanding about what could possibly happen. I mean, just kind of give me a wide range. I know I'll be safe. Right?
Right.
You're supposed to nod with God.
Yeah.
You did not. I said, if you say it, you're still, yes, son. But you didn't say yes, son. So you're saying I could be in danger like a Paul, shipwrecked and beat with knife. I don't want to go that route. Matter of fact, I told God one time, I said, I don't want to feel any pain. So let's not talk about pain. The scripture of Paul wanted to fellowship in his sufferings. I tried to scratch that out. I don't want to fellowship in any sufferings. Me and pain have an agreement. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do pain. One day I got... My word is tricked. I said yes, you know, those worship songs, you get saying yes to a lot of things. I didn't know what I signed up for, right? So I think I said yes to something, and I went to church the next day, that night, and I felt pain. And I have a perfectly walking, divine, health, living body, and I had pain in my chest. I knew it wasn't me. And I go, God, what's going on? He goes, there's a lady over there. I said, hey, I told you, we don't do the pain thing. Well, kind of during worship, you kind of got lovey. And he said, whatever, Lord. I was like, you used me. Well, you said whatever. And I was like, you know. So, but it wasn't a trick. I opened myself up to the lover of my soul, the one who knows me best. He knows more than I know about me, right? I'm just trying to encourage you to, it really is okay to trust him, to allow him to do whatever he wants to do to you. You ever gone to a chiropractor, the guy's adjusting your back? You have to give into that. You know, if not, you will hurt yourself as he's yanking your neck.
Yeah.
It's a natural thing to not have someone break your neck. You know, you've seen all the moves I've seen. You're like going, I could die. You could snap my spinal cord. And the doctor never says yes, because he actually could do that. But the more fear would come on you, he said, yes, I could do that. But I won't do that. So you don't have that question to answer, right? But if you go to the chiropractor, you have to relax, so that the adjustment will hold, right? So you have to trust your doctor, right? If you want to be aligned. I'm saying if you want to go further in your destiny, in your scroll, in your future, you must trust the Lord to not have to explain everything to you.
Come on.
Okay. Now, I'm just saying, now I'm one who wants everything explained. I want 85 verses, I want movies, I want testimonies, I want to know. I mean, for years, the reason why I didn't transfer to Cape because no one told me about coming back, okay?
Right.
I heard stories about going,
right,
but no one ever talked about coming back. I told my wife, hey, I may call you one day, and you're going to need to send my passport. I had a fear of being translocated. Because, and not coming back, right?
Uh-huh.
Hey, I'm in Belarus, Russia.
Uh-huh.
Send my passport to P.O. Box 2219. Operator? Darn it. Honey, I'm back. Send the, quick, for the line snaps. Send the passport to and $2,000 wife. Honey, I'm back. So I had this fear of not getting back to where I started. So fear stops everything. Okay? Okay, so where did I go with that for? So in Revelation chapter 4, he gets invited to come up for a reason. I believe I got snatched for the same reason. Okay? So that was my up, you know. The out, John 10:9, Jesus says, I'm the door. Anyone who enters in through me, that's relationship talk, okay, will be saved. Well, I just kind of thought that was a salvation deal. But the saving that the Jesus talks about once you get to his lordship is about renewing your mind, how you see life, how you become a son of God, how you live in Lynchburg, not as a human or as a Lynchburg city, and how you live as a son of God on earth. That's what live is. It's not just saved. You know, I grew up where, you know, saved meant one day you're getting a harp and a cloud. And you should be happy about that because the alternative is hell. So I go, okay. If I start pondering my harp and kind of thinking, you know, what if I get bored? What do I do? Do I just fall off the cloud and go, I'm coming down for a little pain and torture. At least I won't be bored. You know, I mean, what do you do, right? And so you don't, I never talked about heaven because I don't want someone to agree with me that, yeah, it is boring. I heard a guy went and he came back because it was boring. So what do you tell God? Hey, God, nice place here, but I'm just saying. I mean, is anyone else ever talk to you about the place you got here? That I don't see any mansions. I have a cloud. Thank you for the harp. It's only this big. So none of you guys had that. Okay. So
I was just so afraid of hell.
Yeah, that's right.
All I could think about.
So the last part of John 9, John chapter 10, verse 9 says, he will come in. And he will go out. Okay, remember I was pulled up and out.
Read it again.
John 10, verse 9, this is amplified. I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved or will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and he will find pasture. I have a new understanding of coming out.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that I had to go in to come out. I thought I'd just read some scriptures, renew my mind. Because you got to go in to come out. So I got snatched up and out so I could walk in freely. Okay. And so this is all relationship deal, right? And I'm saying you have to engage with someone. Everyone who's married here, you're engaged with your wife. And when in the scripture, iron sharpens iron. So that lovely wife you have is now a something making you sharper, and you're making your wife sharper, because God's plan for your life is to be more like Jesus. Okay, it isn't to have a happy marriage, it's to be more like Jesus. It isn't to raise godly kids, it's to be more like Jesus. It isn't to be an awesome mom of the year, it's to be like Jesus. Now, when we start putting our eyes on some cool stuff and it's against what God wants to do, you're at odds, all right? And so, it's okay. Well, God, I thought you wanted to be the best father at swim team every summer. Would that be an awesome testimony? There's Wally. He's a great dad. He's there at 5:30 with his pop-up tent, which the cover never comes off. And he's always had that. And it's amazing. He's so fast with that pop-up tent. Even the time it flipped in the pool, he got it out of the pool really quickly.
Remember when Nick took his top off of his tent.
And so we're over that now. I've stepped over the fence.
I don't know if you're over
it. I think I am. I did bring it up, but okay. So let's not go back there, shall we? It's under the blood. Under the blood. That really works, you know. They say it a lot. It must work. Anyway, so I totally lost it here. But where am I at? So for those in the tape, we are now going back to page one.
Talking about going in and out.
Yeah, so you have to go in to come out. So again, the scripture is John 10, verse 9. I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved, will live. He will come in, and he will go out I am made out bigger than these other words. He will go out freely and will find pasture. So I think of pasture, I think it's the 23rd Psalm, you know. But again, we got to start living, we got to stop living our lives like we're by ourselves. Okay? In relationships, you learn from people in relationships. When you're driving the car more than 7 minutes and you're having the discussion of, I think you should turn left. Oh. You're now bumping heads, right? God loves that because one of you will learn peace. One of you will learn to be not offended because that's what Jesus' qualities are. If you hold the fence that every time I get in the car, she tries to tell me how to drive, why don't you just drive? You know, that's what I say. When my wife has motion sickness, except when she drives. Now, what does that really mean? You have control issues. That's what it really means, right? And so when I'm like, but I had control issues because I like to drive, right? So the first time I was like, let me get this straight. I'm driving our car, and I. My dad drove the car, I. When we go cross country, I, the man. So I have my dogma, right? And she goes, that's fine. Gets in the passenger seat and is like throwing up. And I'm like, whoa. My mother knew to throw up in the car. You're not lining up to my image of who we're supposed to be. Well, if I could just drive. Well, my mom didn't drive cross country because my dad wouldn't let her drive. Then we'd be like, she'd drive for 7 minutes. That's not drive. That's not helping at all. Just in case the woman didn't know that. You know? I was like, Mom, you're not really helping Dad out. 7 minute thing? Not working. Can't even close his eyes. Kind of. So I finally graduated where I could drive. I became the navigator. Anyway, we're still going through some sozo on that part of the family. But anyway, God's plan for you is to be more like Jesus. We think it's to be husband of the year, wife of the year, We get our eyes off of stuff. In Colossians 2, verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above. Stop playing down here. Get up here as soon as possible. But you put me in Bedford. You put me in, name another town that's close by. You put me in Lynchburg. You put me in Forest.
Amherst
or whatever. It's your fault. Yes. And while you're there, mm-hmm. I'm going to work on you. I don't want to be worked on. I want perfect. I want peace. Mm-hmm. When I signed up for the salvation thing, you said peace. You said, no more problems. He's like, no, they told you that. I never said that. Mm-hmm. God never said, it'll be well with your soul once you join my team. I was told that. Well, if you just give in, let Jesus be Lord of your life, everything will work out for you. All right, fine. What do I sign? Well, you got to join this church. You got to read this practice. Okay, fine. Did all that. My life got worse. I was mad at those people for a long time. They didn't tell me there was a devil. I didn't know there was an opposing team out there, you know. I mean, I'm like, what's all this stuff going on here, you know? So, oh, so this brings us back to August 7th. So on August 7th, so all those are tracking her calendars, you understand stuff, August 2nd happens before August 7th. I know. It's the revelation there. Yeah. I know. Two before seven. Okay. On August 7th, August 1st, I was reminded that I wanted some ministry. I wanted you get an oil change on your car every 5,000, 10,000, depends upon what commercial you listen to. But in the Christian walk, you should get some checkups, alignments, you know. And I kept telling myself, I tell people that, but I wasn't getting any. And so I was reminded in January this year, so for those that take this, is January, this is 2018. So January 2018, I was reminded that there's a person in your life who has a ministry that you should sit under, all right, and get some work done on you. I'm like, I taught her, I encouraged her, shut up and get the ministry. So of course, I quickly forgot the January conversation. So January, February, March, April goes by. Father passes in June. Boy, that ministry in January would have helped out the dad thing. But who knows the future? Our Lord does. He tells you things for a reason, right? You know, he didn't explain to me, Wally, in June, your father's going to pass. So if you get your heart worked on right now, it will help you in June. Well, if you had said that, I would have done it. He doesn't tell you things he wants you to respond to him out of love, not out of benefits. Okay? We kind of confuse that in the body of Christ. Anyway, So my friend, named Paula Wicks, I'm now doing my commercial. She has a ministry called Heartworks. It says stuff in your heart, right? I didn't know what she does, but I was like, working in my heart sounds like a good thing. Plus God said it, and so you should just do what God says and not go do Google search. And so how's that ministry thing coming? Mm-hmm. I was doing background analysis. So I talked to you about this a couple of years ago, and you didn't, you know, so are you doing it now? And, you know, because it didn't. So on August 7th, I scheduled an appointment for August 8th. I said, hey, you know, what I got to pay? All I know is I'm supposed to get my heart worked on. Your ministry is called Heartworks. Let's get this thing done, whatever this thing is. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell me what it is? She said, well, it's, I go, so did I pay you? I got to pay. How much did I pay? Send me a PayPal. I did the thingy. And I said, tomorrow works. I get off work or whatever time. New Zealand, 16-hour difference, so 10 o'clock my time, 2 o'clock her time, great. Game on, appointment set, good. I wake up on Wednesday the 8th and go, oh my gosh, it's my dad's birthday. I wonder if this is any importance. So the appointment's at 10 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock her time, and I go, hey, by the way, this may be relevant. I just realized that it's my dad's birthday today. Do you think this is... She goes, duh! You know. I'm like, okay. So during that time of ministry, I guess if you work in someone's heart, not physically, that there are things there that you may bump into, right? So for those who are here in Lynchburg and those who are here in Bedford, as we were going through my heart, we bumped into Lynchburg. We bumped into, at the time there, it was Lynchburg and surrounding areas. The surrounding areas finally got clarified an hour ago, because that makes no sense for those on tape listening to it 8 years from now. But anyway, so as we're ministering, I can like explain what we're going through my heart, okay, which is my life, right? And I wasn't thinking about y'all, but stuff came up. So there were three things I started the conversation. I didn't know how, I mean, I was like, how do we start this ministry? So I would start, when I'm nervous, I talk really fast. It's my dad's birthday. You think that's important? So I'm just babbling, right? And she's like, following the Holy Spirit. So she is calm. Holy Spirit's calm. I'm nervous. So what exactly are you going to do in my heart? You know, so I won't resist a whole lot because I'm going to resist because I'm going to, I think I'm older than you in ministry. Should I be leading this? You know, I'm. Can I just give me the scalpel? I'll do the surgery. You know, hold the mirror, you know. So bear with me. My senior in high school, 1979, I literally bumped into the West Point recruiter. Long story short, I got accepted to West Point. But in the acceptance process, you got to do stuff. And one of the things you got to do is you got to write a one-page paper on why you want to go. Why do you want to go? So my prayer at that time was, God, I ain't lying on one page. If you want me in, you get me in. Now, I didn't want to go to West Point. I wanted to go to my alma mater, my dad's school, Oklahoma. So when on graduation and I got accepted to Oklahoma and nothing happened but West Point, I thought that was answered prayer, okay? Because graduation, mm-hmm. Scott McConnell got in, my friend Wes got to go to the prep school, and I got to go to where I wanted to go. So I share, for some reason, I'm sharing this with Paula during my journey through my heart. And what I said, then I said, hey, wow, my dad's army, we moved from Germany to Kansas. We go to my school in Oklahoma. I meet my head coach. I get to our new house, and then there's an envelope this big. For those who can't see, it's a big envelope. And I was accepted to the 1983 class of West Point. So that was in my life, in my heart, in my memory. And she goes, why did you not go? I'm thinking like, why are you asking these pointed questions? You're supposed to help me grow up in ministry and stuff. But the Holy Spirit said, I had never been asked why I didn't go. And I said, well, because my parents didn't make me go to West Point. Now, this is a free ride, you know, fully paid for. Wow. This is something that, you know, Now she's in New Zealand. I go, well, it is one of the best schools in America. You know, there's some benefits, a few benefits.
You're liable to get a job.
Right, you know. So anyway, so she goes. So I tell her why, and the reason why I didn't go is very stupid. It's on other tapes and stuff, so I won't go there. But then she goes, and she said this, I want to ask you a question. I want you to give me a gut answer. Were you supposed to go to West Point? I had never been asked that. Okay. And out of my gut, I said, yes. And she says, were you supposed to be a military officer? I went, yes. Why were you supposed to go to West Point? Now, this is beyond my mind, right? This is like, I don't know why. She says, why were you supposed to go? Then I heard from my inside guy, remember, Jesus lives here, Holy Spirit lives here, God lives here, according to this Bible. If you believe the Bible, there's three entities who are one. And they said, because you're supposed to learn strategies from the West Point Military School. Okay? And I went like, now, for those who are here, we're talking about strategy, and whenever I talk about equipping and stuff, and that was supposed to go to West Point for at least 4 years to learn all this stuff. And I'm freaking out on the my Zoom call. It was a Zoom call with New Zealand. I'm going like, now I feel guilty. I said no to God's plan, and now I now know what I missed. So I was living in ignorance. What has chosen a different school? And God worked through that because all things work together for good. You know, that's the excuse scripture, right? You know, keeps you free. And now it's like, I now knew for a fact I was supposed to go to that school to get my, to see sharper in the future, to understand strategies, to work with nations, to walk in discipline, all the things which I needed. And I'm like on the phone going, I don't think I'm paying for this. You're just throwing this stuff in my face. I'm not saying out loud. I'm going, well, Paul, this is really good. They now know why. Inside, screaming. So then she says something that I did not know was possible. She says, well, ask Jesus to go to have him to take you back to that time frame and get everything that you missed.
Wow. Oh, man.
I said, it's a time. I went, what? I blatantly said no to the plan of God. I was okay with all that I missed. I was just going to suffer life deficient because I sowed seed, you know, and I reaped my deal. I'm good to go. I mean, and then one day I'll go, sorry, God, right? I didn't know we could go back. She says, well, go back and get it all. I went, what?
What's wrong
with you? So we go back, right? So what's important here is I went back and got strategy, and I got a strategy for Lynchburg.
Just okay. Recently.
Just last week. This is August 8th. Today is August 18th, all right? And today, August 18th, I got even an amplified version, for which added Bedford, okay? Yeah, cool question. Bring it.
I'm
gonna pause. It won't pause.
I don't want to be on.
Oh, then you can't. You can't do it then. You can't. I'm sorry.
So did you get strategy when you went back?
No, I got the ability.
Gotcha.
To receive strategies.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Now, meanwhile, you know, I haven't been idle since 1979. You know, I've been growing the Lord,
right.
But all of a sudden I got this. I don't know, an upgrade. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the words are, right? So that was part one of this heart work thing.
Wow.
Right? I got to go back to West Point. I was like, so I did in, I guess, in a few minutes, I hopefully received everything I was supposed to get in the 4+ years.
Wow.
Now, I'm like, I've written about redeeming time, but also when I did it, it was a little different from writing about it and doing it, you know.
Wow.
So also in that time of ministry of walking through my heart, she said, I see you standing in floodwaters. This is August 8th, and at this point I'm about to preach about to you guys about the flood in Lynchburg. I didn't say that to her aloud. I go, excuse me? She says, why do I see you standing in floodwaters? And I'm kind of don't want to share, because I'm thinking, like, you're in my heart. You know, this is a secret area. I haven't quite cultivated this yet. I go, well, last week, my friends had a flood in their town. She goes, that's it. You're supposed to go to your friends in Lynchburg. So where is it? Lynchburg. You need to go. And she couldn't really say Lynchburg very well because New Zealand, But she's finally figured out, well, you need to go there and help them. I go, I'm planning to go there in a few weeks. So this is weird now, right? You need to go tell them. I am going to tell them. I cross my heart. Well, you should use a strategy. I will, you know. But this is like intimate, weird, right? I didn't say I have friends who had but a week before, I'm like, in my notebook, I need to talk. I sent it to you. I sent a message to at least two that said, hey, that's an invitation. Remind me to tell you about how I responded to the invitation, right?
Right.
And so my friend in New Zealand doesn't know this. There was a flood that I want to talk about the flood and how sons of God, This is in me. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I see you standing in a flood. Does that mean anything to you? Yeah.
What day did Lynchburg flood?
The
August 2nd. Are you not taking notes? What are you guys doing here? It's very important, the timeline, you know?
I know, and I've got journals here.
Yeah.
And I started August 1st dating my journals.
Good. Ooh.
That's good.
Interesting.
Interesting.
So she sees me standing in floodwaters and says, you need to go tell them how to stand in floodwaters. She says that. I go, I'm planning on doing that. Get out of my business. I want to say get out of my business. So yeah, because this is like, okay, I appreciate your ministry, but now you're close to home here, right? You're meddling, right? So here's a scripture about standing, but then I'm going to twist it later on. Ephesians 6:13, the classic scripture. Therefore, put on the God's complete armor that you may resist and stand your ground on the evil day. Having done all the crisis demands, stand firmly in your place. Well, hold on.
Sorry.
So then she went on to say, you need to go rescue your friends in Lynchburg. You need to go teach them how to stand in the water. I'm like going, I'll do what I want to do. You can't mess my message up here. Get out of my heart. But I actually asked her to come in my heart, you know, which I'm allowing her and Jesus to let's clean some things up. So in there she goes, she says this. She says, so now that you have the ability to use strategies, she says, remember, she knows nothing about August earlier, the Friday before when the Spirit of Might took me. She says, you should have the Spirit of Might take you to the War Council. I want to slap her now. I want to slap the Zoom and go, how dare you know what's going on in my life? How did you know I had an encounter with the Spirit of Might just a few days earlier? And I'm like, now I'm trying to go like, I don't like people reading my mail because I feel like it's an invasion of privacy. And it is an invasion of privacy. I want to control my own life. I have a hard time with God invading my privacy. So when a person's doing it, I'm like going, because you're vulnerable. Yeah. Okay, I'm wide open here, right? It's good and bad to be wide open. When you're wide open, you can be widely cleaned and changed up. If you're closed off, not the best thing, right? So she says, have the Spirit of Might take you to the War Council. Remember, the Spirit of Might on August 3rd took me someplace, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know where it went because I wasn't ready. So she's so basically, I went there earlier, and now I was going to re-go, right? You follow me here?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'd been listening to the Holy Spirit or following the Holy Spirit, I would maybe have gone earlier, but I wasn't ready yet, right? Because now there's pieces coming together to the puzzle. So I'm taken by the Spirit of Might to the War Council, and I walk in this room, and I'm amazed at the room. Now, I'm not there to see the room. I'm there to get a strategy for Lynchburg. But I'm like, I'm looking around the room like, and this voice goes, you're not here to look around at people. Look at the table. And I'm like, I'm like a kid, you know? And so I'm like, okay. So I look at the table, and in the book that you guys made on page 2 is a map of Lynchburg. Okay? I see that map. Now, I don't know it's that map because on August 8th, I don't know you're building a book or going to build a book, but I look on the table and I see an arena, an oval thingy, an arena, and the map of Lynchburg is in there. Now, I've never seen a map of Lynchburg, but it's a map of Lynchburg, right? I'm seeing geography, I'm seeing buildings. The tower that you put in there, I see the tower. When I saw the book, I'm going like... So when reality hits my whatever...
What tower
like,
was it?
The Elliott Tower. Tower.
Remember?
The Elliott Tower.
Yes,
yeah.
The one that... Oh, yeah, from the Ascension.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's one thing to, you know, whether, you know, I don't care to, well, were you the spirit, were you your imagination, were you someplace between, were you thinking it up? I don't care anymore. But when I get the confirmation, that freaks me out, right? I look at, I'm like, that's what I saw. Okay, that means that was real. Okay, bring it down. This means that God wanted me to talk about this way since the foundation of the world, about this time, and you build me a book called Here's Your Story of Lynchburg. And I'm like, to believe in a God who knows everything before and after, we get to know him and walk with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is this, you know, my whole trust in him is just like, I thought I trusted you.
Yeah.
I really thought I did. But now you're just blowing me away. I need to really give you a full yes. I was kind of giving you, I thought it was a full yes, but really was. It was like a 80% yes, you know. A conditional yes, you know. It was much better than 2 years ago when it was like a 55% yes, you know. But I look at the book, I'm going, I saw that. And I'm like going, so I used to go into the, God, how is that possible? Which is a whole rabbit trail, which takes you away from faith. It goes into history and how did you do that? How did, you know, this isn't life. There's no life in the how-to. There's life in that moment. Hey, get the blueprint. Hey, get the strategy. Hey, get what's going on right now. Do not leave the moment. You've all heard about be present. Okay. In the secular world, they're talking about you got to be present. When you go into the kingdom, you got to be present, right? What does that mean? Stop thinking. You can think yourself out of a glorious God encounter by going logic. I shouldn't be upside down right now. The fact that I'm upside down is not natural. I want to be comfortable, and then you're out.
Who was talking to you? The Spirit of Light? When they said, stop looking around?
Yeah. Yeah, Spirit Might brought me there, and I believe someone said, but it was probably the Spirit Might said, hey, stop looking around, you're here for a reason, and the reason is what's on the table. Because
yeah.
There were beings surrounding the table, looking down, doing the strategy, right?
Were they doing strategy for Lynchburg?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
well,
like...
these kind of beings you saw on the outside, or were these gods?
Well, they were... I was in a godly place, so they were God's people. Yeah, so... I was just amazed at the room, who was there, but it wasn't about the room, wasn't about the location, wasn't about who brought you there. It's all about, let's bring help to a people, okay? That means y'all are special,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You got a room of people trying to bring deliverance and freedom to your area. So again, behind the scenes, there's more for you than against you.
Yeah.
No matter what you're facing, there's like, there's stuff going on, right? And you're like going, well, I wish someone would come to Bedford. No one's come to Bedford before. I mean, when I went to New Zealand, the lady goes, no one comes to Little River. Well, duh, change the name. You know, Little River is as big as his house. The city, Little River in New Zealand, is pretty small. You know? It's a crossroads of two streets, right? Anyway, so, but if we believe God really does love us, He's actually concerned about what you're concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so I'm tripping like, where's the blueprint for Oklahoma City? That's where I'm going. Right? I mean, you know,
it's because you were holding it in your heart.
There you go.
The Lord gave me a revelation about that the other week. But there's a hole in your
come
heart.
Come on.
It's like those nesting dolls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Like with my family, like when you hold someone in your heart, even though that person might not be a believer or their prodigal child or whatever, the Lord showed me those Russian nesting dolls. Mm-hmm. And it's like he just opened them up one night. He said, they're in your heart. If they're in your heart, then you're in me. I'm in you. You're in me. They're in me.
That works. So I finally move. I kind of have to push these guys out of the way because they're busy involved in what's going on in the city. So this is the cloud of witnesses. Wow. This is the angels. There's someone that they are busily looking at the area, trying to put things in place. The things they're putting in place are y'all. Hey, why don't you go to that prayer meeting? I don't know. I don't want to go to Liberty Praise. Whatever was that thing you went to? Well, it's probably religious, you know, and who knows, but... Well, are you going to go? Hang on. Okay, I guess I'll go. And you go, right? You didn't have to go, right? But I believe the guys looking over Lynchburg were like, I need someone to go and worship me there. This would do something. So I'm going to talk about the doings, okay? So they're looking into the arena. I get them out of the way. So now I'm looking over. I'm standing at a table. So I come in like this. Those in the video you'll enjoy, but those in tape. And I'm looking. It's like this table is the map, the arena of Lynchburg. I'm looking down, and I can see the whole geography of Lynchburg. And I'm seeing people and places. And I was looking at strategic places that we need to establish strongholds of righteousness. And I'll get in more detail what that is. But I walk in the room. There's the table is circled with, they weren't giant, but in the spirit realm, you're all kind of big anyway, right? So they weren't bigger than me, and I wasn't bigger than them, but I had to part. But the thing was, is they were intently looking and caring about what's going on. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Yes.
Lynchburg's important. Lynchburg isn't just the land, the area, the whole region's important. It's strategically important, okay?
Yeah.
Very, very important. Now, if it's important to them, is it as important to you?
Right.
Have you gone like, you know, have you thrown your hands up and said, well, I'm going to save my family. The rest of the area is going to hell. I'm not going to partner with the plans of God for that deal. They're trying to have the bring the plan of God for that region, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, what? So then I'm still marveling at the room and who's in the room. I'm trying to, okay, so get your mind on the blueprint. So I'm standing there looking at this, and I didn't hear words, but there was information being transferred to me. Mm-hmm. I guess our current vocabulary is blueprints and scrolls, okay? I don't know, but all I know is information about what was going on here was like coming into me, right? Didn't understand it, didn't comprehend it, so something's going to come out tonight, okay? All I knew was I was getting upload, download, or something, okay? But looking at Lynchburg from a high place. And it was like, there's only one other time I'd been in a situation like this in the spirit, but it was like a moving map. It was like, it was live.
Oh.
If you saw the movie, the recent movie, Black Panther, there was a scene from the ship that he's looking at the convoy, and it's a live moving thing.
Yes.
It's kind of like that. I just realized that just now. It's kind of like, oh, I wonder if I do this. Well, I see Gwen's house. But I didn't do that because I was like, just happy to be there. You know, like, hi, my name is Wally, and I'm happy to be here. And I don't know why I'm here. He brought me. But it wasn't a time to be weird because I wanted to do that because I didn't feel qualified, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to pass the resume around or something, you know. Hi, who are you? I mean, I was, you know, that awkward type thing, right? But it wasn't about meet someone right now. It was about what's going on right here, okay? So in that moment, in this ministry, I am there, but my friend is talking to me through the laptop, through Zoom, right? And she says, hey, there's an angel named Liberty you need to deal with. She doesn't know this Liberty University. She doesn't know anything. She doesn't know that Bedford's first name is Liberty, which freaked me out. Gosh! I'm like going like, is my Zoom thingy online someplace? You know, did Paula sell it out to the spiritual dark web or what, you know? So, yeah, Bedford's first name was Liberty. And my friend in New Zealand says, there's an angel named Liberty that you need to engage with. And then she says, ask Jesus what other angels you need. And I'm thinking like, are you here in this room with me? I'm thinking like, how are you engaging with me? And I'm looking over into Lynchburg and the surrounding areas, and now you're talking. Shouldn't he be quiet? I'm thinking, you know. But she's right on, right? So I go, Jesus, out loud, are there other angels that I need to be engaging with for Lynchburg? And as I'm listening to hear, she says, hey, it's critical that you engage with angelic for Lynchburg. At this point now, she's now saying the word Lynchburg like she knows the city, right? Now, I've said the word, but now she's using it like its own vocabulary. Okay. You need to engage these angels for Lynchburg. I'm thinking like, why do you care about Lynchburg? I barely care about Lynchburg. I'm still figuring out what my role is in Lynchburg. And you're in New Zealand, and you're never coming to Lynchburg. I'm thinking these wild thoughts, what I'm trying to do. So when I ask Jesus, he says, oh, you need pursuit and triumph. So Liberty is an angel, it's over this area. And she says, Liberty is over something. And I go, oh, there's a school named Liberty. She says, yes, Liberty's over the university. But there's two other angels. She said, what is the angel over Lynchburg? And I went, and then I got pursuit and triumph. Now I'm thinking, she said angel. And I go, I got two names. She says, that's good because they're arcing over the city.
Wow.
And I was like, oh. Whoa. So it's okay to have two names? You know,
yeah,
I thought.
Like things arc?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So today at the drum circle, we saw a dome, remember?
Uh-huh.
And our friend drew the little rainbow.
Yeah.
So there's one end of the rainbow, another end of the rainbow. So one end is pursuit, one other is triumph. And they're covering over this area, right? And I'm like going like, so I'm watching her draw and going, what's this mean? Little did I know that on August 8th, it's all together, right? And I'm like going like, you know. Also on that drawing, there was an eyes, right? And we thought it was the bear. One eye is pursued, one eye is triumph. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, so the revelation's unfolding, right? Yes, it is a bear, but it's also pursuit and it's also triumph. Okay, over the tower, the tower that's the Liberty Tower, Liberty is over that. Not that it means that the prayers are going to Liberty. It's just that's a place that Liberty watches from. Okay, the angel Liberty, where angels are not omnipresent. Okay, they're really fast. They're almost omnipresent. They're just really fast. So part of their strategy is someone needs to engage from that local physical location, that prayer tower, to engage Liberty. Okay? Someone needs to take the assignment and go somehow to Liberty University prayer tower and say, hey, I believe there's an angel named Liberty here. Now, you don't talk to the people. I believe there's an angel Liberty. I want to engage with you because I'm believing for my city. If you've been assigned to the city, how do we work together? This is how you engage with angels. You're not worshiping angels. They're another resource. Your resource, their resource, but together you have some power, right? So that's a physical location, just like the physical location of Holland's Mill Park. That physical location has an open door. Today we talked about how a sonic key opens that door and makes makes that door bigger, right? So there's a physical location that needs to be established. Okay, if your husband here was here, he'd talk about, well, yeah, you can't build a house. Well, maybe you can build a house in 2 days, but so in the analogy, you don't just pour concrete over one section and then come back later on, but you do lay a foundation. The foundation of a righteous stronghold has not been built fully at Holland's Mill Park. Hasn't been started at the tower, at the prayer tower. Mm-hmm. And there's a few other locations I'll talk about in a minute that need to be, things need to be placed there. And that place is not a monument or an altar. This is a person or persons need to be actively involved at that location. I mentioned earlier today that when Jesus said, go to the upper room, he wasn't saying, go to your personal upper room. There was a place called the upper room. When you go to Jerusalem, when you go to Israel, you will go, there's only one place called the upper room, where 200 plus believers got there, and came, and the Holy Spirit came. When you go to that place, because you're going to a spiritual tour, when you go to that place, that room is totally, there's a little tiny sign about 4 inches by 1 foot. It says upper room. You walk up steps, you go in there, and it's a big room. You go like, there's nothing physically special about the place, okay? But when you go to one of the sites where Jesus is born, there's so much gold. You talk about gold blocks. There's so much gold and ornation at the three places they believe Jesus is born, because mm-hmm. they can't decide. So their churches are placed over the birth spot. There's literally an X marks the spot, but it's not. It's a circle with gold thingy on it right here. And so religion always highlights stuff that you can touch, right? God's a spirit, right? You know, so when you go to Israel, you'll go to one of the three places. Mm-hmm. But there's only one upper room. And there's not a decoration in the room. Yeah. But when you go to these religious places, oh my gosh. Right. There's incense burning, the stuff, there's drapes. You're like, you walk in, you want to throw up. Because this is gaudy. It's like a... It's ugly. I mean, it's so overdone. You're like going, okay, there's one thing to honor. But y'all gone overboard. It's really bad. When I went there, we went to our tour, went to one of the places, because your tour can't take it all three, because then it's stupid, right? So we go to one place, and I'm standing there, I'm looking at the spot. And literally, it should be like the treasure, the Pirate's X, but it's a circle, the one I went to. And it's got a little darlings of gold. And so I'm looking in the circle going, so someone says Jesus is born here. So there's no manger, stable. It's just marble and there's gold and stuff. Anyway, and again, at one time, maybe that was a way of honoring. Now it's not. Now it's just religious things. So I'm standing there looking at the spot, and then this lady crawls up, and starts crying over the spot and rubs her tears into the marble. And I'm looking at her going like, what is that? So I'm standing there looking at her, and she's at my feet, and she's rubbing her tears into the spot where Jesus is born. And then a friend of mine named Jorge, who's Bulgarian, he says, I used to do that. Dude, you were a lady. What? He says, well, I thought that honoring God was by crying and stuff and giving honor to spots and locations. He goes, I now know that's just religious. It's deception. Because Jesus is alive. Right? So you don't have to go to a spot because he's on the spot. He's living in you. Right? You don't have to go someplace. So we're both staring at the lady, you know, going like, why does she, and we're talking out loud, why does she know the truth? Right? She's right there at my feet. And I go, wow, man, religion really tricks you. Religion tells you that something outside of you is where you need to go. But the relationship is, I'm with you always. Mm-hmm. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I mean, do we believe that? You know? I'm saying we've got to start believing it big time, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm standing there at the place, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to listen to that religious lie. The next day we go, and I told you this part, the next day we go to where David fought Goliath, and we're out there in this big mm-hmm. field, and all my friends bring in shirts full of rocks. I'm like... and my job on the bus tour was to make sure I was the last person on the bus, make sure everyone's there. So I'm going to my back seat, and I'm walking by all the guys with rocks in their shirts. So I'm like going, I stop at one guy and go, dude, what are you doing there? I've got one of David's five smooth stones. And there's lots of guys with lots of rocks, right? And I'm like going, so he's got one of the four false stones. And I go to my seat, and I go like, that's not right. So I go back to the front of the bus and get the microphone. I go, okay, everyone who's got some rocks, you need to dump them out the window right now. They go, no, we have the... I go, okay, David found five stones. One is in Goliath's head. And the four other smooth stones are probably not here. And by the way, what you have in your shirt is gravel. 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 You know, so the window's open and people were throwing things out. And I'm walking back to my, thank you, Wally. You saved me from being religious. Yeah, I'm not right. Thank you. So then 2 days later, we're at, and you'll go there too. It's the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross. Jesus walked this place, and there's 9 stations or 8 stations. And someone got all religious and put them on the wall. Jesus did this. Jesus had a Starbucks here. Jesus went to McDonald's here. Jesus put the cross down over here. And you walk the stations of the cross, right? Great teachings on it. So I'm there, and I'm like, I'm on station 3 or 4. And all of a sudden, I have a revelation that Jesus is here. I fall down on the ground, and I'm in the dirt going, he was right here. He was right here. And I start saying, he was right here. My Jesus stood right here. I'm in the dirt, not fully chest, but my hands are in the dirt going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. My friends walk up to me and go, Wally, what are you doing? Jesus is here. He was right here. He walked here. And I'm freaking out, right? And they're going, Wally, Wally, Wally. They help me up. They go, shake me. Wally, Jesus did walk here, but if he walked here, it's probably my 7 feet under the ground. You're not touching his footsteps. Are you sure? And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm now in this religious belief thingy. So the thing, when you go to Israel, the strongest religious spirit lives there. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. And if you Google it, now, I didn't, this is pre-Google. When I left there, I lived in Israel for a couple months, right? When I left there, before I left, so I'd heard this rumor, but it was in the paper, that there are, I guess, one or two, I don't know, insane asylums. People believe they are Jesus or John the Baptist or Caesar. They take on this persona and they get locked away because they are not Jesus. Because there's a religious spirit that will have you deceived, thinking that he's dead and you can be da da da. So I read that in the Jerusalem Post free edition. Right. Anyway, so go there with the living Jesus, you'd be cool. Okay, but I'm telling you, I'm in the dirt. And I just 2 days earlier got the guys to throw the gravel out, but now I'm there. Oh my gosh! People will be selling you splinters from the cross. This is true. I mean, and you know, it'll be like, hey, Christian, they'll sell you little wood crosses that are from the cross. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, really? And your friend will go, stop it! Even though it's only $1.50, but if you buy into it, you're buying into religion, right? Mm-hmm. It is a cool souvenir. It's all shiny and smooth. You touch it, you're like, wow, I feel closer to God. When you go, you'll go like, Wally was making this up. I'm telling you, when you go there, just be aware. And then you can try it. You touch it, go, feel closer, don't feel closer, look closer, no closer, closer, no closer, closer. All right. So back to where we're going. So Liberty is definitely hanging out around the prayer tower.
Okay. The tower is actually called Freedom Tower.
Cool.
I didn't know that
either. I don't know where Pursuit and Triumph are, but assignments. It's all about standing, right? So listen to Ephesians 6:13 a little differently, okay? Therefore, put on God's complete armor. God's complete armor in this now moment is God's direction and assignment to you. It is not the breastplate, the shield, the helmet, the sword, da-da-da-da. Right in this now is whatever, you know, we know when Jesus talked to in the desert, he said, every word which proceeds from the mouth of God, that's life to you, right? Right this second, your armor to take and stand for Bedford and every city and Lynchburg and all those places is believing what God tells you. You get your assignment from him. It's not someone else's armor. You're not David looking at Saul and Saul going, hey, try out my armor. And David says, that's nice for you. I've never proven that thing. You prove things out of relation, out of your personal relationship with the living God. When you decide you want to be responsible and take care of your city or your territory, I don't know where Stargate is, but it's on here at place two.
Yeah.
But wherever it is, I'm about to name some places, right? Okay.
We're on the edge of our seat.
Well, good. Let's all take a drink, shall we?
Take a drink
from the chalice, baby.
Yeah.
That's right. All those that missed the chalice, that's in part one of the tape. Actually, it's probably not. A big bear passed around a chalice. Okay. So, Ephesians 6:13, in a now understanding, a current revelation. Therefore, hear God's word to you, his strategy, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on this day in the year of our Lord, 2018, which is actually 5778. Okay? So, Greco-Roman, 2018, Hebraic calendar, this is year 5778. Okay? In the month of Elul, E-L-L-U-L. Now, and having done all that the crisis demands, every location has a different purpose. Holland's Mill needed a sound key to unlock that door. Okay? Now, do not take a drum to Freedom Tower or whatever it's called. A drum's not needed there. Your faith is needed there. Your belief that there's a purpose to be there is needed there, but not a drum. So don't take a drum. Why, the drums were powerful at Holland's Mill. I believe I'm supposed to... Don't do that. Now, you can do it, but that's not going to be the key or the strategy. What the strategy is, what your armor is, and what God says. But I'm going to tell you the locations. The locations I saw on the map, I'm going to tell you the locations. Now, you're going to go like, now you can go like, that's nice, Wally, nice location. But what you do have is a living God inside of you.
Right.
To verify and validate and help you, right? And I'm just giving you some nice suggestions, right? So Ephesians 6:13 again, in a now understanding that I'm saying, you know, is, therefore, listen to God's word to you, because it's alive and will protect you. It's living, it's sharper, and all that stuff. That you may be able. His word makes you able to do whatever. And we learned yesterday, all things are possible for those who believe. Okay? Believe in what? Believe what he says. Right? So out of your relationship, this is where you get the saying part. It's not, what verse was that? No. What day was that in time when you spent time with the Lord, he spoke to you? This is why I believe journaling is very important. Okay? When God says something to you, you're like, well, what? Write it down and go, did you really say that? Okay, how do I do that? I want to do it, but I don't understand it. That's why you got to write it down so you can chew on it, right? Because if you just keep it in your head, you may tweak it a little bit and not be what he actually said, okay? This part, again, this is, I'm using the Amplified version. And having done all that the crisis demands, every location... there's a need to build a righteous stronghold.
Yes, Lord.
Okay.
Yes, Lord.
And a building activity is a process. It takes more than one day. I don't know how long it is, but it takes some time. It's going to take more than one day to take care of your territory, right? Mm-hmm. But we have to establish righteous strongholds. Okay. The scripture in 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons for our warfare are not physical weapons." Flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God to throw down, overthrow, to destroy strongholds. Now, we're not in the destruction point here. We're into the building. Okay? Things have been demolished. We got to rebuild them. When Elijah did the altar on Mount... I've been there. Thank you. Mount Carmel. When I lived in Israel, I lived a few miles from Mount Carmel. Okay? And I was telling the Jewish people what happened there. I go, y'all don't know the story? That freaked me out. Y'all don't know the story about what happened? Okay, right there is Mount Carmel. And this was a showdown between one guy and all these prophets. So, there have been righteous strongholds. Example, which I just learned today. A town named Liberty, for some reason, it now is called Bedford, which means bondage. Is that correct? Okay. That's freaky.
Wow.
Why would you name your town Bondage? Of course, no. Why would you name your town Lynchburg after a guy named Lynch who lynches nice black people? Okay, so anyway, we do strange things, right? You know.
Which is why we're here.
And that's why we're here, right?
But the Quakers were here. The Quakers were here before Mr. Lynch.
Yeah, but the Quakers... Right, the Quakers probably... Again, so the point
they
is
a strong...
Right, the point is there were...
Quakers.
There were righteous things here, and they've been torn down.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. We got to rebuild. When Elijah did the take on the prophets, he rebuilt the altar. Okay. Once he rebuilt the altar, then they could do the work. But the first thing he did was rebuild the destroyed altar. Mm-hmm. Okay? You can read that wherever that is in the Bible. But it's in the Bible. I read it, I thought, when I think of an altar, I think of like, okay, I put a tablecloth down, altar set. No, these are massive bricks, and there's cement, and you got a, and the slab, and you know. So there's a strategy to build the altar. Okay.
That's horrible.
What?
Like, I never knew that, and I've lived your whole life.
Which one?
Lynchburg? That meant bondage.
Oh. Well, I didn't know that until we were gathered at the table. You know, so that anyway. So okay. Well, anyway, we can go back to the right place, right? And you know, to the foundation of the world, right? Mm-hmm. That and God doesn't. You know, my first stop when I'm in New Zealand. My first stop, my first bus stop in New Zealand. The town was called Hell. We pull up. The guy goes, "Who wants to get out here?" I said, "I ain't getting out of here." I'm looking. I got a picture, and there's a demon with the like this looking right at me. Come on down. I'm like, I'm not getting out of here. I'm good. I'm not going to the bathroom here. I'm going to hold it. I'll go on the bus. People got off. Well, we're here for 20 minutes. Well, that's good. I ain't getting off the bus. People, you know, I'm like, and again, this is true. My first bus stop on my bus was Hell. Next place was Bulls, which is, I got off at Bulls because it's a big bull. You know, but I was like, there's no way. This is like, no believer should get off in Hell. I mean, just unless you're supposed to. I'm like going, I'm not getting off. And there's a big demon greeting you. I mean, on the window.
That's deal. Crazy.
Yes, but who names your place Hell? Who names your place Bondage? Who names your place after a guy who lynches people?
Yeah.
Stupid people do.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So let's not be stupid. Let's go back with the mind of Christ and figure out how to rebuild a righteous stronghold. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jeremiah 1:10. See, I have this day appointed you to the oversight of nations. You had the word of nations earlier today, right? Yeah. So the things you do look local have a bigger impact than you realize. Your little bit of obedience ripples, like she mentioned today about the pebble. It goes further than the end of the lake, right? It affects God's plan and places and cities and go beyond the nations, right? And it goes out to the cosmos. We think it's just as far as we can see. Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I figure any intercession I do can be applied anywhere because it's been done.
Any intercession you do directed by the Lord has an impact here, and it goes, but its biggest impact is where you're supposed to, and then it has beneficial benefits around where it goes, right? So like you do your righteous deal, and all of a sudden Gwen wakes up from a dream, a good dream. She was having a bad dream, but then the wave of your obedience affects, right? So every little thing we do affects, we're a body, you know? If Gwen has a nightmare and Wally Johnson's in Oklahoma because I'm her brother and we're in one body, her nightmare affects me. I should wake up and then go in the spirit and go into her dream and kill the thing that's chasing her if I love her, if I'm connected to her. Yeah. That's the level of body we're supposed to be, mm-hmm. right? And that potential is there, right? So when I said earlier, don't be sad. Well, you know, I'm still part of your body. I'm not disconnecting. But she's really talking about, hey, you're not going to have the same place you did when you're physically. Blah, 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 blah. So there is a loss at a level, okay? And if we stay there, then we all should be sad. Okay? But let's not stay there and go, well, God, what else can we do? Is this now where we can actually now believe for translocating? Can we now actually, like, go to a place in heaven together? What are the invitations you're inviting us to with this new inconvenience? All right? I mean, this is the stretch, right?
Upgrade.
Right? This is an upgrade. It's a potential. Will we go there? I don't know. But we have an opportunity. All right? So we get back to where we are. So, here's the locations I heard that need to have righteous strongholds built. One is the Liberty Tower, Hollins Mill Park, where we were at today. Stargate was, you know, I didn't pick Stargate because I know you're there, but this is what I got, right? And I got your address, Gwen. So 303 Mount Haven Drive, Forest, Virginia. And then for Bedford, I got Bedford, and then I heard, who in Bedford will stand? Who in Bedford will respond to the call and take a stand? And then I'm sitting here at dinner, and I ask the question, hey, what's Bedford mean? Can I have the history? And then you tell me history, and I'm like going like, well, no wonder I heard the question. And then about the church that was there, that's no longer there, and I asked the question, so what's going on there now? Well, there's, you know, And I clearly heard in my bedroom upstairs, who will take a stand in Bedford?
Did that have anything to do with him coming to the gate today?
Which him?
Mick.
When well, a lot happened today. Yeah. A lot of the strategy that I was going to speak to happened at Hollins Mill Park. So we were building something. Okay. So him coming through was a part of establishing a righteous stronghold. You seeing the arena was a part of a collective vision of what can happen when people come together and believe. We were building something there in the spirit, right? We opened a door together. We believed together. You saw things together. The answered prayer about the vision about Brad standing at a door with the staff. That is called building a stronghold. What we did today is building, okay? So something like that, led by the Lord, has to happen in the tower. Hollins Mill Park started at Stargate. Something of taking word and spirit and application needs to occur. The fact that you bought the land wasn't because eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You're led of God. So you had a word and direction. Now you've acted upon that. That's building, right? You see where the next house, you told me the lake, house, deal. So now you see it in the invisible, and now as you build towards that, that's building the righteous stronghold. Nice. Your obedience, it's not about, well, I don't think a house on the lake is spiritual. Excuse me, whatever the Father says is spiritual and the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see how those trailers could be part of God. Get out of your head and just flow, right? And if you think about it, if you think about it, no one does that. But if you flow with your friend, your Lord, your Savior, your Creator, and you realize that every word proceeds out of His mouth is life, and if you follow it, you're getting stronger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that what you do is establishing the land. Okay? You're retaking it back. So if it's, you know, ma'am, you were led, Dorothy, look at me. You're having the thought of, hey, do I purchase the building that the church used to be at? Well, that's a stupid thought to Wally Johnson, but that's a God thought to you. And if God leads you to do that, that's awesome, right?
Lord, it's your provision.
Right, so when we hear something in the invisible, outside of our imagination, outside of our rational thinking, and we go, that sounds like God, and I've now been cultivating my relationship, that's just not a weird thought. That's in the capacity and potential of the beyond my ability. But inside of me is the King of Kings, who's got ability, right? And yesterday we talked about a scripture that Paul walked in superhuman energy. So if you're doing things in your own ability, that's probably you, right? Mm-hmm. If you're doing things that people go like, that's kind of stupid, that's kind of crazy, that's a better attribute of you may be doing a God thing. Okay. You understand?
Stargate?
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the farm.
The farm, Stargate.
And it's 116 acres?
117.
Oh, God.
Right there.
Oh, so close.
You know what? It's probably 116 point something.
Oh, thank you.
But I round up.
Thank you. So
that's God's little acre.
So that's, see, thank you for redeeming me there. I almost just fell into the pit right there.
No.
I missed it. So,
well, can I mention one thing about Bedford that I've been thinking ever since you started, you're talking about Arch.
Yeah.
And then I thought of the D-Day Overlord. D-Day Memorial has this humongous, really high in the sky
red arch, and there's a big sign, there's a big word over it. It's called Overlord. It was a code,
code name for D-Day.
D-Day. For that invasion.
Whoa, come on.
For Alpha. And
whoa.
And going back to the gentleman, Mike Blatnick, that was part of Line of Judah, they did so much study of prophetic over all the prophetic implications. Something began at Line of Judah, and it's almost like it's rebirth, and something new is coming out of it, a new work.
Well, remember, I think Dorothy said it, today, that when the elephants, when the strong ones, let me make it up spiritually, when the mighty ones apply their force to a strategic location, okay, living water comes forth, right?
Wow.
So if the mighty ones in Bedford will act on the word and release life, spring up a well, who gets wet when a gusher comes up? Anyone in the area, right?
Okay.
The believers and non-believers, right? They're all getting wet because some were faithful to pound, right? Faithful to do whatever God says to do, okay? Now, there's God's part. God's part is to point and say. Then it's our part to respond, right? And he gives us the ability to respond. But he does not make us respond. We have to. It's our will, right? It's our choice, right? That's awesome. But when you said arcing, what came to mind here was the believers in Bedford, the believers in Lynchburg, coming together and arcing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoa.
Right. So every victory here gives my other brothers and sisters victory here, or a confidence that, whoa, they got a breakthrough. I'm getting ours here. Right. And then, wait, I just met a person from, what's the R word city? Ranker. Not Roanoke. What's it?
Rustburg?
I'm looking at you because you met a lady at the
meeting.
Rustburg. So what if the Rustburg people kind of jump in? Right?
We get a dome going.
We get a dome going. Lots of arcings. We saw a multi-dimensional rainbow in the picture, right? What we didn't see, we saw the one-dimensional, but right, take it this way. You get a dome, right? And so it's just not about this one, like, you know, McDonald's arch, point A, point B. It's a da 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 da. Yeah, you're missing it on the recording. But it's a da 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 da. It becomes a dome, right?
Speaking of the dome, when we first moved here 5 years ago, I was praying and I went up. The Lord took me up. Didn't know I was over the region, and I saw over the region a dome, and it was filled with the glory of the Lord. So,
come on.
I keep that in my vision all the time, that that's what's coming.
Yeah. So, you know, when we think of, you know, the first time I heard someone arc, I'm thinking of point A, point B, right? Mm-hmm. But God is way bigger than two dimensions, right?
Right.
But we kind of limit him based upon our perspective.
Yeah,
but we have access to his perspective. So, but when our sister says, "Oh, I don't see a point A, point B. I see a dome." The first time I go like, "No, come back small with me. Come back to the real world." Dude, no. I know you didn't ascend. You went up, but we ascend and we arc to point A to point B. Come back down. I don't know where you're going. Come back. But no, wait. Who was our God, right? This is back to, again, the Elisha servant deal. Servant sees an ark. There's people around us. What does the guy say? Father opened his eyes, right? And he saw the dome, right? And I'm like, what am I not seeing? The only thing that's keeping me from seeing is me asking, right? But I saw a dome. What if it's more than the dome? What if it's a dome that's not only in the air, but also goes in the ground? Mm. What if the dome actually affects the things in the water? Right? Because the Bible, the Old Testament says, do not build graven images of things in the air, on the land, or in the water. Okay? There are things in the water. How do you deal with things in the water? I don't know. Well, I have a teaching, you know, out there. But just don't go with the teaching. Go, hey, God, I heard this teaching. What do you say about these things? We need to go back to what do you say? Because there's life, strength, protection, armor, everything in what he says. Okay? You following on that? Mm-hmm. And so everything I'm saying is directing you back to the Father, not back to, man, you better memorize my teaching. You need to cultivate a relationship with the living God. And as you cultivate, get bold and go, hey, is there something I'm supposed to be doing for Bedford? I'm just saying, you know, I got pretty pumped up the other day, but what do you say I should be doing? When you align it with his agenda, his plans and purposes never fail. So that's get on the winning team, right? Now, we have some cool ideas, you know, and some stuff, and we're pretty creative, you know, but we're not. There's no guarantees when we create and think of. There's guarantees on what he says, right? Now, I say guarantees, not understanding. Follow me, right? It's a big difference. I want guarantees, understandings, money back guarantees. I get my time back, right? I won't get beat up. There's no, my reputation is sound, right, God? So I'm going to do this for you, but if you cover these 12 things and sign right here. And can you sign here too? And here, right? That's not unconditional love. That's fraught with conditions, you know? And if your relationship, and again, I don't know where you are at, but my relationship with, it's like the first time someone said, from some teaching deal, your prayer life is probably very much looks like your relationship with your earthly father. I said, that's stupid. I don't talk to my earthly father. And I guess, well, how's your prayer life? Well, I don't talk to my heavenly father. And I ran out the building. Because I want to face the truth, right? That haunted me for decades, you know? That's true. How come you don't talk to your dad? I don't know what to say. Okay, that's stupid. But that was the reason why I didn't talk to my dad. Because I thought maybe he might say something hurtful or correcting or something. And so that's why I didn't talk to my dad. I didn't talk to God because I didn't want him to correct me either. Even though both of them, earthly father, heavenly father, would correct me for my benefit. Okay? Mm-hmm. For my benefit. Now my earthly father, it may not come across correctly, but it's still his heart motive is for my good, right? With our God time, it's like, well, God, I'm not going to ask you. So you might tell me something that I don't want to do. Well, oh, disagree with you? No, disagree with me. So I'm not going to do it. Okay, it's going to save your life, save you time, and da 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 da. Right? So we just got to get used to like, okay, he is smarter. He has good things in mind, and I should try them out. Take over a test ride. And if it's a bad ride, well, don't trust him ever again. There you go, right? What? Are you saying that God can fail? No, I'm saying you've never tried him out. That's what I'm saying. You've never, on your own, taken him for a ride and then lived by those results. You let other people do things, and they had a bad experience, and you go, well, that guy fasted. He lost 3 pounds, and then lost his family. Not going to do that. And I heard about that one man of God, goes to Africa, does some great things, and his whole family dies. So, I don't understand how it works, so I ain't going to do it. We have preconceived deals. We don't see the full picture, right? So, we have to trust God based on his reputation. Not about what others did, because you don't see the full story, right? But he is willing to give you the full story, but at his timing, not your timing. I still don't like that, honestly. I want it my timing. Yeah. You know? But again, I'm getting to know him more and more, that he's worth the wait, mm-hmm. Okay? On big things and small things, okay?
Yeah, don't you find it interesting that he just surprised you with it. Like you weren't intentionally looking for strategy for this work.
Right.
But the Father knew ahead of time that you were holding us and the city in your heart. So he in his time and in his way. That's so powerful.
Yeah, well, powerful. You rarely come back to this house back-to-back nights, right?
What?
You rarely come back-to-back nights.
Yeah, Now, you may come weekly, but, you know, you got things on your plate, right?
Yeah.
So, for some reason, God knew a million years ago that, okay, we'll do this thing. I'm going to create a Wally, you know, and create an Amy. And this is just bizarre, right?
Yeah,
but I start getting thinking about it, you know, I'm still blown away that I see your face. You know, I preached a year earlier about how when Saul, who was Paul, and Ananias was going to minister to Saul, and Ananias is like, oh God, you know, I love you and everything, but that guy's a killer. I'm just saying, in case you didn't read the newsletter, Saul kills your people. God says, I've already shown him your face.
Yeah.
I'm going like, so? So? And that meant something to Ananias. So years later, I see your face about who should lead worship. Wally, find some worship. I know hundreds of people in D.C., okay? Hundreds! You know, literally hundreds. Probably thousands, but I'll be conservative and say hundreds. And I'm asked by their ministry to do the worship. And I'm like, okay, I know hundreds. That's my, yeah, I can do that. I go home and I see your face.
Which you are you pointing to?
There's only one you here.
Well,
the people on tape are going like.
There's three people about
you. Well, the people on tape are really confused. They're like, who's he pointing to?
The face with longer hair.
So have you done it yet?
Yeah, in June.
Oh, that Dr. O? Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah. See, me, that's, I'm still reverberating off of that. That's me. I know what you're doing.
Me too.
I'm still going like on. So, am I going to see more faces in the future? Yeah. Do I see the face first? Yeah. So I'm really in this walk of trust first and didn't do versus explain it to me. This is still new to me.
He's
right?
Not going to do it the same way again.
I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm willing to trust him any way he wants to.
That's
but I used to do it the other way around. Like, I ain't doing that until you explain it to me. I'm not doing anything. I had a pretty good life, but this is way more exciting. The effort it took me to call you and to say those words out loud, you don't know what I struggled with. Because I had never said it outside of me. You know, I'm thinking, I'm going to tell a person that I saw her face. I need to tell her husband first. Why do I do that? What's the rules here? Why are you looking at my wife's face? I wasn't looking. She popped up. Why did she pop up? I don't know. Bye. Yeah. This is my natural struggle, right? I'm dialing the number. I go, wait a minute. Did I talk to Mick first? How's it? Hi, Danielle. Yeah. How you doing? Great, Wally. What do you want to talk about? I saw your face. I don't know what I said, but it's kind of like that. I had no good intro, right? You know, it was like I was reading the scriptures in deep meditation. Why are you meditating on me? I didn't mean that. Okay, look, I saw your face. I couldn't explain it because that's all I got. I had a verse. You know, the verse is not about worship leaders. It's about a killer. You know, you're not a killer. You know, so I'm like, oh my. You know, so the things we step out on, I heard something, well, perceived something from the Lord very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't understand it, but it was definitely you. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like a female form. It was your face, like here.
Wow.
And I'm like, I never had that before. I wrote a scripture about it. I'm now starting to believe every scripture I read.
Wow.
I just started really believing that maybe 9 years ago. Don't tell me you guys started believing the word. I mean, I'm now starting to believe every verse is true and possible for Wallace Johnson.
Amen.
Every verse.
Amen.
You know, the ones that I like, the ones I don't like. You know. But anyway, so tonight was all about me sharing, you know, what occurred because of other things that occurred, right? And things that occurred. What? That's all the seeds I had.
Yeah.
Oh. So there's Tower, Hollinsland Park. Now see, so every place there's a different strategy.
Right.
Now the strategy will come clearly to anyone who takes the assignment.
Oh.
okay? Yeah, but you still have to decide whether you want to be a part of it or not.
Yeah, I'll listen a little bit.
So, for Gwen, so I got the address here. I cut and pasted out of my calendar. So it's like, okay, well, I know this location. I live here. Okay, cool. So, but there's other people who are in this room that can choose to come on the monthly or whenever you have the right. meeting, right? They can partner with building something that God wants to build here. Okay. So there's people that, you know, there's people who are not here who you'll feel. Gwen, listen to me. I'm trying to help you out here. So there are people who are not here that tonight, this week, you'll get a prompting in your heart that, hey, I need to tell them that I've decided to build a righteous stronghold in my house at 303 Mount Haven Drive. And for some reason, I'm supposed to tell you that. Who is this? Well, I have a list of five people I'm supposed to call and say, I, Gwen, have chosen to build a righteous stronghold in my house. I'm going to give my house over to the Lord. And Gwen's already done that. But I don't know why I'm calling you, but I just got your name. So now you have an invitation, not for me, well, kind of for me, but I believe the Lord would like you to participate in building a righteous stronghold here. They may go, what's a stronghold? Well, I'm just supposed to give you the word. And now you need to go in with your relationship with the living God, because if you come over here and try to do your own thing, it'll mess it up. You need to figure out how you are supposed to help me, help us build a righteous stronghold. I'm doing all I'm supposed to do. I was given your name. I called you. That's all I got to do. You have any questions? Well, yeah, why'd you call me? I just told you. I was given your name, and I told you. Well, what do I do? Oh, I wasn't supposed to call you. I was called to let you know there's an opportunity. Now, you can listen to this teaching about being prompted, but you have an opportunity with the God that you live and serve. I'm Methodist. Okay, again, this is not about denomination. This is about relationship. So it doesn't matter what title you have on. I don't go to church anymore. I don't like God. Anyway, I was given your name. Right? And this is between you and God. I haven't talked to him in years. Well, I guess here's an opportunity to talk to him. I have to go now because I've been on the phone longer than 5 minutes because I only want to talk to you for 30 seconds, but you've asked some weird questions. And I got to call 4 more people. So, okay, you have my address? Okay, good. No, 303. Not 300, 303. Okay, bye. That's a real deal. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it'll be on the recording, but it's still in the recording. That's what you can do. Not more. You're not going to convince. Don't try to convince anybody. You don't want a convinced person here. Right. You want a God motivated person here. Right. A convinced person will turn on you. What does that scripture say in Ephesians about, you know, having done all that the crisis demands? Every righteous stronghold will be different, okay? Yeah. Because it's a different purpose, mm-hmm. a different function. Mm-hmm. It all fits into the under the dome, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay? In its strategic, logical, regional place, right? I have no idea what the thing in Bedford is. I have no idea how it ties to the arch, but I would start there. I would literally go to the physical arch area, get as close as possible and go, hey, I'm here. Anybody else here? And,
I just think I'm pretty sure there's supposed to be new prophetic acts.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. There were many, but we're in a new season.
Oh, yeah.
Where did you hear the word arch? Or are you talking about the arch?
The arch. Yeah. Okay.
So, but yeah, I would physically go to that place and say, God, I'm here. For all those who want, who are willing to go to the arch, go there and go, hey, God, I'm here at this physical location. Okay. I don't have arch place. I have Bedford. And I thought to myself, other place is very specific.
And that's, I'm thinking, I get an address, 303 Mount Haven. Stargate is very specific. I got Bedford. Bedford is bigger than a point, you know. And then you give me a very clear, so it's not about me figuring it all out. You give me a very clear geographic location. There's actually two. One is where the Lion and Tribe of Judah Church was, which is the empty building. That's another physical place that you can go in here. And not saying that it's going to be, I mean, I don't know what the strategy is for that physical location. But I do know now, in this moment, that that D-Day site is a place that there's a door of open revelation that if you go there and ask, the door will open. No drum needed, but... Oh, thank you for the visual. No drum needed. Now...
It has all the nations that were on the Allies.
Did you say nations?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Trigger word. Trigger word is nations. What does overlord mean other than what I wanted it to mean?
This Mike Gladney said, I want to check this thing out, what's going over our area. And so he found out that after World War I, there was a huge list of names that would be for, not skirmishes, but war actions, big or little, whatever. And so when it came to this thing with all these different nations, you know, this huge thing, they picked Overlord. But it had been written down.
Code name.
That's a powerful name.
I would take that
and run with that baby.
We stuck up there. Some of us stuck up there before. When it was in the building process.
Right, come on.
We were blowing shofars.
While I was in the building process.
Yes.
There needs to be a new building process.
The Lord had me go there when Trump was being inaugurated.
Come on.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let me do flags, I asked.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, there's something about this geographic location. Mm-hmm. Are there others? Yes, but there's something about this one. Okay.
Well, isn't it one of the highest, other than the Pisa,
yes. Yeah, and then it took town. Off yeah. about 30, 40 feet to know
how
to make it.
Okay, so I'm just giving you a clue. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not your lord or her overlord. I'm going to steal that word. I am, this is right now. There'll be an overlord teaching coming soon. But, because I'm just like, there's just so much just buzzing off of that. But this night, okay, is there's been words spoken in this atmosphere. This house, which is a foundation for a righteous stronghold, has been prepared for this such a time as this. And get all, ooh. But for such a time as this, two people, a husband and wife, have set aside this location for certain things. They have no clue what they set it for, but they said, hey, okay, God, you can use my house, right? And so, from this location, some words have been spoken forth, okay? The fact that you guys sold your selling your location, and you're relocating to Stargate, so everything that was promised there, you can... there, but there's other things which will actually come out of the ground, good things which were buried, that will come into your heart and your mind that you can stand upon. So like in the building of a house, I've never done one, but you dig down to a firm foundation, right? So I think there'd be some digging in your heart and the mind of God into what that foundation is, and then you can build from there. The things that you'll build upon his word, whatever he says, you build on that. The digging process, as we heard today about in the arena, there was dirt stuff. So there's old traditional. The fact that we know is there at least a slave in tobacco there. We know that's not a good thing. So we're gonna push aside that and go, okay, what's the redemptive quality of slave ownership? Okay, humility, serving unto a higher purpose. Okay, let's clean that off and go unto our God. We serve Him. There's a greater purpose, right? There's a great purpose for that land and territory. So the Lord's going to reveal that, then you can build upon that. Mm-hmm. Okay, then there'll be a righteous stronghold. When people go to a righteous stronghold, there's revelation. So coming here, the fact that I'm in that bedroom, even though I want to be down in the basement, but I'm in that bedroom by faith. I can't believe you're not taking the hand to get your butt out of my basement. What do I got to say to you? I got to give you a note, you know? My goodness, last night they were like, you know, well, just go down and get in bed with her. I said, well, I thought about it. I was, I thought longer than.
I
thought about it for a whole 30 seconds. Of course, now I need to. If I could delete that from the tape, I would. But I pondered it like, I really like that room. I think that was permission. I'm not sure. If I kick her out of the bed, that'd be okay. Would you be able to teach tomorrow? I don't know, living in sin like that. Only one person would know. So when I came out of the thing, the basement for breakfast, they go, yeah. Well, I'll go upstairs. Okay, I'll go upstairs. Stop pondering stupid stuff, you know. But in this place, in this atmosphere, there's stuff that's open. The thoughts of looking up the picture and Brad showing the picture, looking at the word overlord and looking at the direction. The five stones are on top of that mean something special to me. Again, the five things are on the cover of my last book, Engaging the King. So there's a place of might and some regal things which affects the nations that can be done out of Bedford because... You know, blood has been shed out of that region in the nations, for the nations, right? Mm-hmm. So you can tap into that and just go with that thing, you know? I mean, just really go with that thing. It's not an old thing, it's a new thing, right? Mm-hmm. The Ancient of Days is trying to shake things up. I mean, it was like, it did do this, right? And it got top heavy for what reason? The people didn't adjust their workout, their place in the spirit, and they couldn't handle it anymore, and the thing fell over. Someone in Bedford is going to be willing to make this thing stand, okay? As they take a stand, this thing will take its place and be rebuilt. But it starts with, I'm in the bed upstairs, who in Bedford will stand? Who will take a stand? As you stand up and follow the things of God, the voice of the Lord, that thing which will be built, but the thing that was been thrown down will be reestablished. Something in Bedford has to stand. It's the people there, for sure. But there's this thing that you will build in your following the Lord, hearing His voice, doing your part. You'll create something. And then Bedford will not be Bedford. It'll be a beacon of liberty that will shine throughout the area, that will touch the nations. That's what you're living for. This isn't a place that's 20-something miles from Lynchburg. That's our high calling. You know, no! You're supposed to touch the nations. And so, but the thing which was built there has fallen, and y'all have been mourning the fallen.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And
wow.
You've just been mourning. You know, no one's prayed for resurrection. No one's stood for resurrection. No one's asked about the future. Well, you know, we had 8 years. We had some good things for 8 years. Were you there when? Yeah, I was there. You're in mourning.
Yeah.
The day of mourning is over.
Yay.
Okay.
Yay.
The day of mourning is over. It's time to stand as the righteous, stand as the mighty ones, and resurrect the dreams and visions of the Father that He's placed in your heart. You need to shake off that dirt, the burial thing. You know, what happens in burial? You put dirt over a casket, right? You need to shake off the thing which is buried. If you look back at the movie. Superman, they buried Superman. He wasn't dead. You know,
praise God.
It looked like he was dead. You know, I thought he was dead. You know, I was mourning. You know, I got all this material thinking, what am I going to do with this dead guy? You know, I got 30 shirts. I'm going to burn my shirts now. My goodness, you know, my whole life is ruined because of a movie. Praise God for the new version that came out, you know.
Yes.
I ironed my shirts, you know. I wore one after he died. Hey, why are you wearing that shirt for? Oh, because I bought it. And I ran. Literally, walked fast. The guy went, hey, he's dead. I like my shirt. I'm mourning, right? So there is a fresh... You know, every morning, God's mercy is new every morning. There's a fresh revelation for a town that shouldn't be called Bedford.
Right.
Okay? You need to blow the dirt off of that and speak whatever the Lord's spoken to you about that town, the name, its purpose, its destiny. Breathe life into it. Just like when Gwen saw me breathing, blowing the dirt away. Mm-hmm. You need to blow the dirt away off of the town. Mm-hmm. Right? You can actually change the name of a town. Yeah, yeah. You can change the name of a town. It was changed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying. I mean, There's a Nancy Cohen story about they changed the name of the town.
Right.
Remember? Mm-hmm. You got a Nancy a Nancy protocol how to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no one going to behead you in Bedford.
Nancy protocol.
Yeah, you got an answer for
it? That's something else I heard, and I don't know if it's true. What prophet said that about
Lynchburg would be...
That the name would change to Glory.
That's what I've been thinking about for the last hour. I mean, the last few minutes when you got...
I mean, once you guys go up, set your mind on things above.
Yeah.
Once you respond and go up, what are they talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So you all have been down here talking. Everything down here is past... Yeah. You may have gone up here and pulled something down, but there's no power to change anything down here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You need to go get your own counsel from up here
right. And
see things from on high. Mm-hmm. Right? There's life, strength, power, anointing, grace, confidence. When you do mess up, there's forgiveness, there's attaboys, you get a good try, all up here. Mm-hmm. No one rejects you up here. Mm-hmm. You come down here, they stab you in the back. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am?
I feel it's a Kairos moment right now for us to call this into Bedford.
Yeah. See, here's what just happened. Let's what just happened here. I'm saying, hear from God, mm-hmm. right? She heard from God. She boldly raised her hand and said, oh, that big black guy's kind of a big black guy. I don't know if you're raising anything. But then she overcame that and said, I think we should walk in this Kairos moment. So the little thing is... We now can do it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm stupid, I'm going to go, hey, that's great. Why don't you take that home with you? That's stupid, right? Mm-hmm. Let's follow the prompting. So, Dorothy, mm-hmm. I want you to stand, if you could,
and just
go through that door. On the other side of the door, say whatever you hear for us, for the sleeping ones in Bedford.
Go for it. You do that, and I'll do what he shows me.
Yes.
Okay.
You do that.
In the name of Jesus, Father God, I call forth your purpose, your plan, your whole strategy, the things you've shown me for years, the things I've walked out. God, I call them forth, and I say, I can't do it. But I give it to you now. And I thank you, Father, that you brought me here so that there are other people that understand you have a huge thing for Bedford. And we release it. We release it to you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So, Father, with my sister's, admonition. I like that word. I never use it. But I do step through that open door. I open my eyes wide to perceive what I should say on behalf of my brothers and sisters in that town with the wrong name. So with that, Lord, I blow away the grave clothes off of those people who have been comfortable in tailor-made custom death wardrobe. So I blow off, just like I see the scene of, you know, in a blustery wind, their coats get caught and the wind and the umbrellas are blown off. I blow away every remnant, relic of death, of destruction, of mourning. The scripture says that we need to put on Jesus as a garment. So, Father, I blow off the grave clothes off the people in that town, and I loose them into a new wardrobe, new mantles, and I invite them to put on Jesus Christ, who is their living covering. They will break their covenant with death and mourning and spectating and being passive. They will wake up to righteousness.
Come on.
They'll wake up to the reality that Christ in them, the hope of glory, the reality that the Godhead is alive and well and has something to say. They don't have to make things up. They don't have to walk in their own strength. They can tap into the power of God because God is for them, not against them. They're not a small town hidden. They are a city on a hill.
Yeah. So I agree with your plans and your purposes for the town. I thank you that everyone there, believers, unbelievers, have eyes to see, ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Sorry, I didn't mean to end that. Has anyone else saw, felt, and say something? Go ahead and say it.
It's like, first I thought it was like angel or somebody on horses. And I think they're chariots. And they're like coming out of the sky and they're just kind of like entering the area around the D-Day Memorial. But they were coming into Bedford.
Wow.
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 Well, again, that scripture with Elisha and his servant, he opened his eyes, he saw chariots coming in to deliver or to protect the prophet, right? I mean, because the enemy had surrounded the city, right? So Bedford is surrounded with the bad word, the B word, right? So liberty has been covered over by Bedford, right? You saw chariots come in to help remove that false mantle. Okay, so we need to believe for that mantle to go, right, and hold on to whatever the Father provides, right? So again, we just heard an invisible thing spoken out loud. Do you hold on to, well, Wally, I'm about to drive home and see, welcome to Bedford, town of 10, whatever number it is. Do I believe the sign or the sign? Right? This is practical, right? And this is no foo-foo, this is practical. In a few minutes, you're going to see a sign that says, Bedford. Do you say, lying spirit? Or do you go, I'm home.
Ooh. Come on.
Am I going to go back and lay in my coffin and rise to the side? Or am I going to go like, oh, the chariots of God are 10,000. And she saw them coming. I'm going to see them. I'm going to partner with the chariots. Whatever happens tomorrow, I say yes to now. Because tomorrow's a new day. Someone's going to say, how you like Bedford? What are you talking about?
Where's that?
What are you talking about? Did you not see the chariots? Excuse me.
You don't see the chariots?
Did you say chariots? Yes. The chariots of God. Yeah. But something's going to... You're going to get new songs? You're going to hear songs from some of the places that are meant from that city. You know, songs coming out of your own belly, right? Mm-hmm. There are people who have gotten very, 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 very comfortable in trying to clean up a where's the place you put dead bodies in? Sepulchers, you know? Mm-hmm. Not cemeteries, but there's the place where you put bodies is above ground. Tombs.
Oh.
They've been decorating tombs, trying to make them a living place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some great teachings in some tomb areas, right? Doesn't fit, but you make it fit, right? Well, you know, I guess we can move. God doesn't want you to move. He wants you to restore. He wants you to rebuild. Mm-hmm. He wants to take the thing, like he's in this fallen thing. He wants someone to help stand it back up, right? And who's going to do it?
Well, you know, you when you were talking about, you know, who's going to take the stand.
Yeah.
I could not help but, I mean, immediately, I know this is going to sound crazy, but Michael and I, for lunch, we went to this pub downtown Lynchburg, and you know, went to the bar, and you know, got the same our food. And while I was waiting, I went over to this table where these two cute girls are like in sixth grade, and one of them was the dad of, I guess he had the girls. One was the girl, and one was the friend of the girl. So one of them, I started talking to these girls, and for some reason, I'm talking to them. And because they've been in school for a week, I said, so what's the story? Is there any bullying over there? And yeah, they got some bullying over there. And I said, well, you know, so far this year, because you're in the new school now, you're in the middle school. And the last week, is there any going on? Yeah, there's some. And I said, well, so what do you do about it? And she said, well, I just take a stand. They were talking about young girls.
Yeah.
You know, bullying. You know, I was like, that was interesting that you said that again. Take a stand.
Who's going to take a stand? And I tell you, I mean, I'm still going to, you know, I need to stop freaking out. I need to get used to the freaking out, to what's normal.
right? Mm-hmm. And I have stopped saying, this is going to sound crazy, because that's, you know, you can't, try to stop that, because what you're saying is God's mm-hmm. clearing the way and giving you faith to actually stand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He gave you a living example of a six-year-old, sixth grader. You're like, going, well, you can't stand on your own, but you're not called to stand on your own. Right. You're standing with someone else, right? And so, I mean, to me, that's a great story. This has not happened to me before. I'm laying up there. I've got a generic Bedford thingy. And I hear, well, who's going to stand? I go, what? I'm trying to put a message together here. And where is this? Why are you yelling? You know? And it was a big emphasis, not for me, but for
thee.
Do you
think it's because the time is critical?
No, you said it right. It's Kairos time.
Yeah.
You said it.
I know.
There's a
you
time
said
for
it.
Everything.
It's 2020.
So,